All right, so do you remember Romeo and Juliet? Like maybe some of you had to read that in high school, or maybe some of you read the Cliff's Notes version of it in high school. Cheaters. But you can see that you at least got the theme. Maybe you've seen a video, a movie, a play, some kind of understanding of what Romeo and Juliet's about, right? We got a little bit of feel of that. Well, it's a romantic tragedy where two so-called lovers are hopelessly stricken with each other, so much so that they would rather kill themselves than be with anybody else. It's very sad, actually, in many ways, from the family's control of their lives to the thought that this is the only way out. But beyond the literary genius of Shakespeare, I want us to notice something else. That if Romeo and Juliet were a true story, we could see how this love story completely changed their lives. Like, it affected every aspect of their hearts, and they made decisions accordingly. Well, as you just saw in the video, and over the last 4 weeks, we've learned about the story that God's been telling throughout history. This love story that is the foundation of every other love story that we cherish. And so now we're familiar with this plot. The creation, fall, rescue, restoration that we've seen over these weeks, that now we're ready to move into living out God's story. What we're going to see today is how knowing God's story actually helps us live out God's story, how it affects our hearts, how it affects our decisions, and helps us make those decisions as we go. So take your copy of God's Word, whether that's in paper copy or on your device. If you can't because you're wrangling other things, we'll put it up on the screen for you. Romans 8 is where we will be. That's the same chapter that Victoria just read from, Romans chapter 8. About three-fourths of the way through the Bible, you'll find the New Testament, and then you keep going to the right a little bit to Romans 8. So the first thing we need to understand today is that God's story governs the world. This story of God governs the world. So I want you to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. The Apostle Paul is writing to this church in Rome. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revelation or the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Right, so he's referencing this framework that's behind the scenes of the story of God and the story of history. Running from creating everything perfectly that God did, but then of course we saw the fall and Adam and Eve sinned against God and everything broke, and now we see what's the result of that. And then God's rescue through Jesus has come, and now his restoration of all things is coming. All of it, we see this scarlet thread of hope, that there's grace, that there's this promise that God made that he's fulfilling, that from before time began, God's redemptive mission is being fulfilled. See, God's story, this governing story, gives the world shape and meaning. It's not in some impersonal, detached way, though, but it's in a very intimate, pulling us into it kind of individual way. Because God's story not only governs the world, it governs your life and my life as well. I want you to look at Romans 8, 23. So he's talking about creation, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. There's restoration language there, right? It's pointing to something more to come. Yet even as we wait for that, there's this overarching narrative that we're participating in. Here's what I want you to see today. That yes, there's this big story we've been talking about, but your sub-story, my sub-story, God uses that to push his story forward. This big story, he's using your story to push his story forward. That means that the plot you are living, the plot lines of your life, are allowing you to play a specific important role in this big story. That you have been written into God's story for a specific purpose. So listen, whatever you face in this life is not by chance. It's not insignificant. It's purposeful. So every scene you are in, every character you encounter, every event you face in your life has a purpose, and it is underneath this big story of God. Now, here's the thing. As soon as I say that, I know that brings up some questions. I know that brings up some questions for you because the reality is that every one of us has some scenes in our lives or characters or events in our lives that have been really difficult to reconcile in light of this big story of God. Like, we look at our lives, we look at the world, and I can't imagine how that child walking out of my house and never coming back, how does that fit into God's story? You can't imagine how that doctor's diagnosis fits into God's story. You can't imagine how that coworker's difficult personality fits into God's story. You can't imagine how losing your home or losing your car or losing your spouse, how any of that fits into God's story. How is that even possible? You can't imagine how that abuse fits into God's story for your life. And just as an aside on that one, let me sit on that for a second, because you might have suffered very seriously because of your own sin or even because somebody else sinned against you. And it's been horribly painful. And listen, we want to listen to that. We want to open the doors and have conversations, lament with you that the fact that this world is not the way it should be. We want to walk with you, continually reminding you that the world is not the way it should be and that there's a day coming it's going to be restored. We want to walk in that. Like, we want to remind you continually that Jesus is in the middle of it with you and you're not alone. He's there and we are there with you. And so, if you are His, I want you to hear this. You are not defined by your past experience or your past sin or anything like that anymore. If you are Jesus's, you are redefined as cherished. Like, I want you to hear that this is broken. And you can't imagine how that fits into God's picture. But listen, He is with you if you are His. And He sees you not as defined by what happened to you, but as Jesus's, and He's cherishing you. So don't forget that, and we want to remind you continually of that. But that's also why we started 5 weeks ago with who God is. Like, we need to remember that and what He's like. We need to remember that because there's going to be times in your life based on circumstances or situations that you might be tempted to believe that either God's absent or God's not good. And it's a fight to believe that, yes. And it's something that hard at times, but we've got to hang on to the truth. Romans 8:28 says, we've got to hold on to this. It says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And so because God's story governs the world, governs your life, you can trust that everything you encounter in this life is to show off God's glory through you. Let me caution you as you think about trying to process through what's going on in my life right now, what happened in my life right now. Let me caution you with this. Don't always think you can understand all that God is up to. Don't think that you can understand what God is up to. John Piper said that God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you might be aware of 3 of them. Like, you don't see the whole picture. Only God sees the whole story. Now, yes, some of those elements of that story are painful. It's going to be hard. Why? Because we live in a broken world that's not the way it should be yet. It's messed up. We groan inwardly, the scripture said, waiting for that restoration to come. Don't expect perfection here. It's going to hurt. But God is always doing way more than we might be able to perceive. But it's that same truth that God's in control, God is sovereign. That's what allows us to live out this story in the everyday mundane moments of life. Like time with kids, like, right? We're feeling that right now. Like, how is this glorifying God? I'm struggling with my children. I can't keep them seated. I can't keep them quiet. Daily, we feel these things, like the mundane moments of life. How does that fit into this big picture story of God? Well, if he really is in control, if he really is in control, then that means everything in life matters. Your everything, like all of it, all the scenes, all the characters, all the events, everything finds purpose underneath God's redemptive plan. Like, so just think back of how your story began. Like, think of your birth date or where you were born or the family you were born into. Like, just think of the experiences that that brings, that now shapes the story, and that actually matters now because of what it brings for God's glory. Or think of the obstacles you face as a child or as a teen or as an adult, things that have been difficult, that now is being shaped underneath the control of God for his glory. Or think about how you've tried to overcome those difficulties and you never could until God got involved and extended grace and hope to you, and you couldn't overcome it except from him. That's part of your testimony, right? And then you even think future, that what's the legacy that I want to leave for my children, for my grandchildren, for my great-grandchildren? What do I want to be known for? What do I want them to know about God because of my life? All of that. Think of that being your testimony. It's not just a testimony to how awesome you are. It's a testimony to God's grace in your life and God's goodness to you, even through the difficult times of life, that you can see he takes beauty out of ashes and makes it something beautiful for his glory and for somebody else's good as well as yours. So every part of your life, every part of your history is a part of a larger story that God's telling. Your sub-story pushes forward his big story of redemption and restoration. You're part of that. Like everything, all successes, all failures, everything that annoys you, everything that delights you, it's all underneath for God's glory. Like all of that can be seen through the lens of redemption. Like even the tough parts. That means your life matters. It gives your mundane, what you think, well, I'm not a missionary, I'm not a pastor, I'm not these things that are public, I'm not that, I'm just kind of doing my little thing over here. That means your life matters because you have a story to tell and you've been changed by God's story and you have experiences that are unique to you that I can't address. Like I tell people that all the time. I cannot walk into an environment that you can walk into and have the same impact. I don't know anything about motorcycles. I just know that I'm scared of them and I could get hurt, right? So that's, like, I stay away from that. Some of you, that's your passion. You love doing that. So you can walk into an environment where there's a bunch of guys driving motorcycles, a bunch of ladies walking around these motorcycles, and you can have conversations that I would be just dumbfounded. I wouldn't know what to say. Like, that's a wheel. I don't know what else. It's loud. But you can see, you can't walk into a football locker room like I can and have the same immediate respect because of my past, because of the story that God shaped in you and the passions he's experienced and put into your heart. You see how this works? Like the story of God is using your sub-story to push forward his story of redemption, because you might walk into that environment and you can see God use you to save someone's soul or to encourage someone away from suicide or whatever it is. Like you can see that would be what God uses for you, or even your failures in your past. You know, don't think because you're divorced or because your parents divorced or because you got fired from a job or because you were an alcoholic or because of whatever, and you don't look at that and say, well, I can't be used by God. In fact, you might be used more powerfully by God. Because again, I don't know what it's like to be divorced, but my parents were, so I can talk to kids differently than you might be able to. Or you've seen God work in redemption and saving you out of that. Or maybe you've experienced substances and you can talk to people differently. That's the point of God's story, using your story to push forward his story. So don't think your life doesn't matter. Those babies God's given you that you stay home with, those are intentionally given to you for you to use your life to raise them to know Jesus. That is eternally, monumentally important, right? Every life matters. Everything in your life matters. And it's when you line up your story with God's story, that's when things start to actually make sense and life starts to turn a little bit bigger, that you start to see true joy and true life. Again, starting with Jesus changing you by repentance and faith, and he gives you a new spirit, new life, and then he begins the process of lining you up with Jesus, which is all we call sanctification. It's a big word that Christians use called sanctification. It's, again, simply lining you up with Jesus in his story. It's right here, Romans 8, 29 and 30. Let me show you. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Right? You see it right there. Like those he's saving, he's conforming to Jesus. He's making you look more like Jesus. That's sanctification. In order he might be firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. Meaning your salvation is secure forever. But see that, like, you, all that big word means is you look like more like Jesus every day. You look more like Jesus every day. That's sanctification. How do you do that? Well, the story language, it's trusting his story more than your own ideas of how it should go. Like instead of you taking the script and scrubbing something out and saying, no, I think this is how it should go, right? No, sanctification just simply saying, Jesus, I want your story to fill through me way more than I want my own story. That makes it a whole lot easier to trust him and obey him. And you just say, God, I'm yours, right? I'm a bit part in this story, and I want you to use me as you see fit. And he will. But the more you do that, the more that sanctification happens, the more you look like Jesus. So that's what I want us to think about this morning. I want us to consider that, and I want to ask you a couple questions just to help you think about what I've already talked about so far. Do you see yourself as a participant in God's story? Do you see yourself as a participant in the story God is telling? Do you see yourself as a unique creation in Jesus, that he's put you on this earth for something? And it's unique, and it's the only person in all of creation, all of history, you're the only person that can fulfill what he's given you to do. Do you then, when you see it that way, do you trust the circumstances of your life to God's help, to God's control, and to God's help? That you don't say, man, this has happened to me, I'm going to try to redo this story. It's up to me to do this. Do you just trust God with it and say, you know what, the circumstances of my life have been this. I didn't choose that. Maybe I did choose that. But this is how God wants to use it going forward. Do you trust him with that? Because God's written you into his story for specific purposes. The person you are is specific. Like the people you know, the places you live, the places you work, those are all by God's design. It's not an accident. Now here's the caution. As soon as we start talking like this, some people start comparing theirs to others. Now, why did I get the short end of the stick? That guy over there, he's got like a pain-free life. I mean, why did he get that and I get this? Like, the hand I've dealt, we use that language, right? Like, why did he get that and I got this? Be careful with that, because maybe their prosperity or their success is actually God's curse on them to keep them from seeing who he actually is. Like, you ever think about that? Maybe. Because when you hurt, when you feel pain and you feel some sorrow in this life, you know you turn to God. So would you want that to be taken away from you? Would you want to have a pain-free life where you can just write a check and everything's done and you don't have to worry about it and you don't need God? Be careful about comparing your life to somebody else and say, well, they got the long end of the stick. I got the short end. I mean, come on, God, why? That's not fair. Be very careful about saying that. Because I don't want you to miss that God wants to do something huge through your life. And it might be through your pain. That you stay faithful through cancer. And it's so confusing to people. And they can't understand. Right? Like, that's a testimony to God through pain. Which might be what God has for you. Acts 17 talks about this. All the details of your life are meant for God's mission. Where you live, where you work, who you're around, it's for God's mission, for His glory through your life. Take advantage of it. And so here's what happens. When you start living with this perspective, this eternal perspective, it pulls life out of this to-do list, survival mentality, and it puts it back into this epic adventure category. Like, we love those epic adventures, right? You know, all the Transformer movies, have 25 of them now. I think, like, these epic adventures that you go on, Lord of the Rings, these kind of things that you want to dive in. That's why we love video games so much, because we want to dive on this adventure, right? Legend of Zelda, let's take a trip, right? You see that's what we're built for. We want that. But then for some reason, all of our life just is like survival. Make it to the weekend. Is that really what God's created us to be? Well, no. And I'm not talking self-fulfillment. I'm talking about diving in with God's story and making His story your story, which gives it way more purpose. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. You know why we get so invested in sports teams? It's because we long to feel a part of something bigger than ourselves. So we go to these huge stadiums and we want to be a part of 85,000 people cheering for the same thing. We long to be something bigger and be a part of something bigger. This epic, vicarious adventure, right? Now, I'm a sports guy, right? Like, just like you, I'm a sports guy. So don't hear me criticize something that I'm not invested in. But I want you to hear this. If you hitch your joy wagon to something other than Jesus, you will be let down at some point. Like, if you line your story up with the Dallas Cowboys, you will be let down at some point. At some point, all the time, I should say. No, but listen, even if they win, right? Because it's just temporary. The next season's rolling around. They just had the draft a couple days ago, and they're already talking about next year's draft. Like, this season hasn't even played out yet, and they're already talking. It's so temporary. It will not fulfill you, because you'll lose at some point, and you will not win all the time, and it will not last. But if you line your story up with God's story, and you say, I want to follow His plan for me, and I want to find my joy and fulfillment in Him alone. That's when John 10:10, Jesus says, I'm come to give you abundant life. That's when that starts to come. Like, it's the truth that God's adopted you into His story that gives your job purpose, that gives your family purpose, that gives your neighborhood purpose, that gives your past a new purpose. And you realize He's been writing you into that story, and look at what He's got for you. Again, that's where true life and joy is found, is lining your purpose up with God's purpose for your life. That's where God's best for you is found. Sin is never God's best for you. It will always destroy you and others. So running away from God's purpose is not good. It's never best. No, it's what Psalm 16:11 says. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so here's what I want you to do in light of this morning. I want God's best for you. You hear me say that? I want God's best for you today and for eternity, of course. And I love you enough to tell you the truth that nothing else will satisfy you. Living for anything else than Jesus will not satisfy you. So what I want you to do is I want you to go home and delight yourself in the Lord and in Him today and this week. I want you to get into His Word and find out more about who He is, about His purpose for your life, which is to glorify Him and make Him known. Like, that's what I want you to experience That's what I want myself to experience more, is to line my purpose up with Him. And I would encourage you, along with that, to gather some editors around you to help hit backspace on a couple things in your life, to delete them out that don't need to be there, things that are going to deviate you from the purpose of God and from the plan of God. Get some editors to help you understand what needs to be removed, to sit across the table from you and say, how are you loving your wife? Or are you being respectful of your parents? Or how are you using your money? That's what an editor does. It removes the unnecessary parts. Because what your goal should be, and I'll close with this, your goal should be to align your story with His, to make His mission your mission, to make His commands your commands, to make His heartbeat your heartbeat. That's the goal. And what He wants, that's true freedom. When we want what He wants, that's when we find life. It's not wanting what you want, it's when we want what He wants. That's life, and that's joy. And He wants that redemptive story He's writing to be lived out through you in this world. So I'd invite you to join me in that process, individually, as families, and as a church, that we line our story up with God's story.